This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين والعاقبة المتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, thank you all for being here. But before we thank each other, we start by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be here. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be here. And we are here, gathered today, discussing a great act of worship, the one of the greatest acts of obedience and devotion that we do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is, of course, the pilgrimage going on the Hajj. Now, the purpose of this lecture or this talk is to really explain why Hajj, why is it important? Why is it something that we should all strive for? Why is it, despite how quite expensive it is definitely worth doing? What are the rewards and why is it so significant and why is it so central to our deen? And with that, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to share with you several points to, inshallah ta'ala, reflect over. And it is these type of reflections that we need. Like Allah says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for indeed reminders are beneficial to the believers. Now, first and foremost, let's start from the basics. Hajj is a pillar. Hajj is a pillar among the pillars of Islam. Now, if you had to imagine I'm hearing that some... Sorry, can you guys hear me now? I think I accidentally muted myself. As I was saying, my brothers and sisters, Hajj is a pillar among the pillars of Al-Islam. So, we usually deal with the other pillars of Islam as if it's something urgent that we have to do. When we talk about fasting in the month of Ramadan, it is non-negotiable. Everyone is fasting. Everyone talks about fasting being an obligation. When we talk about zakat, at least I hope so, that everyone is paying the zakat and calculating the zakat. Similarly with the other pillars. However, when we talk about Hajj, it looks like it's not that much of a priority for most of the Muslims. And this is a problem, my brothers and sisters, because Hajj is just as much a pillar as the other ones. Yes, there's the caveat that Hajj is only obligatory upon those that can afford it. But there are many that can afford it, but yet delay it. There are so many that we know, business owners, people that have decent jobs, people that can afford it, people that can even save for it, but don't because they prioritize other things. We tend to prioritize marriage before Hajj. We tend to prioritize business before Hajj. We need to prioritize so many other things, holidays before Hajj. And that is all as a result of us not truly appreciating that truly Hajj is among the pillars of Islam. So first and foremost, remember that you're not engaged in an act of worship that is something that is low on the priority list. It is extremely high on the priority list, number one. Number two, my brothers and sisters, if we had to think about what is it that we want the most out of this dunya, if someone told you, you have one wish that Allah will most definitely grant you, you had one wish that Allah will most definitely grant you, what would you wish for? Well, even right now, if you write in the chat, I have a feeling each one of us is going to write the exact same thing. Let's go ahead. If you had one wish Allah could give you, what would it be? Immediately we see people are writing down Jannah, because that is the only answer. That is literally the only answer. We want Jannah to Firdaus. And in fact, a fa'idah, my brothers and sisters, when you are making dua for Jannah, don't ask Allah just to take you to Jannah. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ advised us that we should ask him to take us to Jannatul Firdaus. Ask Allah, oh Allah, allow me to enter into Jannatul Firdaus, the highest and the best place in Jannah. Now, if that's your only wish, or if that's your greatest wish, then let me ask you this question. If you know already that the reward of Hajj, listen to your Prophet ﷺ when he said, الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. An accepted, righteous, correct Hajj has no reward. Has no reward. When we are talking about Hajj, we do not talk about its reward in numbers. No, it has no reward except paradise, except Jannah. Then why on earth would we not be racing to go to Hajj? Why would we not be planning and saving and making a bigger deal about it when the reward and the return of this investment is literally the greatest wish we all have, which is Jannah? This should by itself be enough of a reason for us to want to go, my brothers and sisters. It is the only reward that has is Jannah. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a narration, and I want you to listen to this one as well. Man hajja, the Prophet said, whoever performs the pilgrimage and does it without sinning and committing any haram and obscenities during it, raja'a, he will go back home, kayomi waladati ummah, like the day his mother gave birth to him, or her mother gave birth to her. In other words, the day you were born, sinless, no mistakes, no errors, no sins, no major, no minor. Remember that? How we would wish we could go back and remove. How we would wish we could go back and remove all of those sins from us. And we can do it by performing the Hajj. We can do this, my sisters and brothers, by performing the Hajj. So that's two reasons you have there for you. Why Hajj? Number one, the only reward it has is Jannah. Number two, you return like the day you were born. And also I mentioned that there's a pillar among the pillars of Islam. My beloved brothers and sisters, there's another reason that I want you to think about. And this is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that when you perform Hajj or an Umrah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in your wealth. Because among the things, the ways the shaitan will deviate us, the way the shaitan will convince us or talk us out of Hajj is by mentioning it's expensive, you can't afford it, what are you going to do, where are you going to get the money from, how are you going to pay it back? All of these types of reasons, right? The shaitan will want you to not go to Hajj. That was what he wants. The Prophet ﷺ said, تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة. He said, consecutively do Hajj and Umrah. Why? Because فإنهما ينفيان الفقراء. They remove poverty. كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد. Just like the furnace removes the impurities in iron. In other words, if you were thinking that performing Hajj will set you back financially, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you rather the opposite. Rather, it will be the opposite, my brothers and sisters. Your finances will actually do better, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised. Now, even during Hajj, there are so many things we have to think about, right? The greatest single day in Hajj, the greatest single day in the year, happens in Arafah. During Hajj. Now, a lot of people confuse this with Laylatul Qadr. We as Muslims believe that the greatest single night in the whole year is Laylatul Qadr. The greatest single night in the whole year is Laylatul Qadr. But the greatest single day is what? Because Laylatul Qadr starts after sunset, doesn't it? Right. So if we have the greatest single night that is equal to 1,000 months in reward happening in Laylatul Qadr, there is an even greater or similarly great day. It's called the Day of Arafah. And it is specifically for the people that are at Arafah. My brothers and sisters, on the Day of Arafah, which is the 9th day of the Hijjah, the most important day of Hajj, you have millions of people that gather in the plain of Arafat. The plain of Arafat, that area, millions of people, people are wearing their robes, their ihram robes, and they are tired. And they are, what do they do that whole day? On the Day of Arafah, which is the first day of Hajj, or the second day, depending on how you look at it. What do people do on that day? On that day, you're in your tent or you're outside, and the whole day, you're engaged in dhikr, remembrance, and dua. You're raising your hand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah for your worldly benefit and your afterlife, asking Allah to take you to Jannah, to forgive your sins, to help you and your family, to bless you, everything that you would need ever. This is the time, right? Now, as the Muslims gather on Arafah, on the Day of Arafah, in that place, you have millions of men and women, brothers and sisters, there praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raising their hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something really special happens every single year. And those among us that do not go Hajj, we miss out on that. What happens? What happens on that day? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks towards those people that are gathered there on that day, wearing their robes, tired and disheveled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks upon them. Allah descends to the lowest heaven, comes near. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to his angels, look at my servants. Look at those hujjaj. Look at those pilgrims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they have come to me disheveled, tired, dusty, hoping in my mercy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, my angels, be witness that I declare today that they've all been forgiven and that they are from the people of Jannah and they are freed from the fire. I want you to think about that. Would you not want to be there when that happens? Would you not want to be there on that day when Allah descends and showers His rahmah and mercy upon them? Would you not want to be there every single year when that happens? If you're missing out, and this is really important, what we find with a lot of Muslims and brothers and sisters is that they don't even feel that they're missing out. They don't even feel or fear that they're missing out. Do you know what who can tell me, because I like this to be interactive, who can tell me in the chat, what do the Muslims that are not there on that day do? What do we, let's say we're here in Birmingham or London or wherever else that you guys are calling from, what do we do when they are there on that day praying and making dhikr? MashaAllah, we fast. Jazakallah khair. We fast. So Eid is the day after. The day before, what did we fast, right? Jazakallah khair. Do you know why we fast? Do you know why we fast? Allah will say, well, there's a reward in it, and the Prophet did it, and Allah forgives your previous sins from the year that passed and the year that's coming, the minor sins. But there's a very, very powerful statement that was said by a scholar called Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he was analyzing why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the rest of the world to fast on the day of Arafah. Of course, it's not obligatory, it's a highly recommended act of worship. And my brothers and sisters, he mentioned that Allah knew the yearning, the eagerness, the hope, the wish that everyone has in the world. Oh, how I wish I could be there at Arafah. Oh, how I wish I could be among those Muslims that are raising their hands, wearing the ihram robes, of course, the men raising their hands, and they are receiving this blessed moment where Allah says to His angels, look at my servants, I bear witness and be my testimony that all of them are going to Jannah, all of them are forgiven, all of them are freed from the fire. Because they are not there, meaning those that don't go to Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a compensation, as a way to console the hearts of the Muslims that wish to be there, you have the opportunity to fast on the day and you get that reward. This completely changes your perspective. You should feel on the day of Arafah, if you're just going about your day shopping for Eid and you don't even feel, oh my God, I am missing out, then you have not understood Hajj. You haven't understood Hajj. Wallahi, we are missing out. It is the equivalent of having Laylatul Qadr, but you're somehow not able to be part of it. The thing is, Laylatul Qadr, everyone's a part of it because it's a time, it's not a place. But imagine Laylatul Qadr, I want you to think about it. Imagine Laylatul Qadr only happened in Mecca. Wouldn't you feel like I'm missing out? This is exactly what happens on the day of Arafah. Hence why you should plan and try and go for Hajj. My brothers and sisters, now there are so many virtues to speak about. I just spoke about Hajj, but let's look at the blessed place. Let's look at the city of Mecca and the salahs that you pray there when you are there. In Mecca, every single salah that you pray is equal to 100,000 salahs elsewhere. Let's deep that for a second. If you pray 5 daily prayers, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, we're not talking about the Nafils, we're not talking about the Sunnah Raka'at, we're not talking about Witr and Qiyam or Taraweeh, we are talking about just your 5 daily prayers. That is equal to 500,000 salahs elsewhere. Do you know how long it will take you to pray 500,000 salahs? We're talking about more than a lifetime. More than a lifetime. So you can get the reward of a lifetime, several lifetimes of prayer just by going there and praying near the Kaaba. That is the reward of just praying there. Again, why would you not want to go? All of that, and you have to pay somewhere between 9,000 to 10,000 pounds, 8,000 to 10,000 pounds, somewhere. Yes, it's expensive, but look at the return, my brothers and sisters. Look at what you get. And remember what the Prophet ﷺ said, تَابِعُوا بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. Follow up Hajj and Umrah regularly. You do a Hajj, do an Umrah afterwards, do a Hajj afterwards, if you can afford, of course. Why? Because if فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرَ, they actually absorb and get rid of poverty. It is the opposite. It won't set you back. It will set you forward. My brothers and sisters, that's just about the salah. What about the tawaf that you do? What is the reward of the tawaf? Subhanallah. For every single step that you make, for every single step that you make, the Prophet ﷺ said, من طاف أسبوعا, whoever does circle on the Kaaba 7 times, right? And you get so many opportunities to do that. For every step, Allah raises your rank. Allah forgives 10 of your sins. And for every single step, can you imagine the amount of walking that you're doing on Hajj? The amount of walking that you are doing. In other words, my brothers and sisters, what I'm telling you here is that the reward of Hajj is innumerable. Of course, we started by the fact that the reward is Jannah. Then we talked about how you come back like the day you were born. Then we talked about the great day of Arafah. Then we talked about the Tawaf and the Salah. These are all great reasons for you to want to go. We haven't even touched upon Medina yet. The Prophet's Masjid. Visiting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And reading Salat and Salam upon him right there and then. It's praying in the Prophet's Masjid. Getting 1,000 rewards in for every time you pray. For every time you pray at the Prophet's Masjid is equal to 1,000 salah elsewhere. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that there's an area in his masjid called the Rawda, Rawda Sharif. The Rawda, the Prophet ﷺ said, between my pulpit and my house is a garden among the gardens of Jannah. Imagine being there. Imagine praying there. Imagine making dhikr there. You get to visit Baqi', the only cemetery that we know that the people that are buried there are from the people of Jannah, meaning the companions, not everyone, but definitely the companions that are buried there that are from the people of Jannah. The Prophet's daughters, the Prophet's sons, the Prophet's companions are buried there and you get to visit them. Not to mention that you can go to Masjid al-Quba, the first mosque built by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet said, whoever visits Quba and prays there 2 raka'at, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the reward of a umrah. The reward of a umrah. Can you imagine just praying 2 raka'at and you get the reward of a umrah? If you just dotted down or written down all the reasons I listed, my beloved brothers and sisters, it is literally a no-brainer. Now, on top of that, the Kaaba, my brothers and sisters, truly symbolizes what it means to be a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is the first house built for the worship of Allah. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةٍ مُبَارَكًا. The first house to be built for mankind to symbolize and signal to us that only Allah is worthy of worship is the Kaaba. That's why we face it every single day. That's why we love it and respect it. That's why we want to go near it. That's why we want to pray near it. This is something very important. And when Prophet Ibrahim rebuilt the Kaaba and raised its foundations with his son, Prophet Ismail, and he finished building it, Allah told him to climb the mountain of Qubais, Jabal Qubais, and to announce to everybody, to all of mankind, come to the house of Allah, come to the house of Allah. And what happens, my brothers and sisters? Prophet Ibrahim said, Ya Allah, who will hear me? There was no one there. If I announce and invite mankind to come to your house, who will hear me? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't worry about that. I will make sure that they come. So when we go for Hajj or for Umrah, and we say the words, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Here we are, O Allah, here we are. Here I am, O Allah, here I am. I respond, O Allah, I respond. What you're responding to, what you're saying is, I am responding to the ancient call that was made to Prophet Ibrahim for the worshippers of Allah to come and glorify Allah in his house. So you are a special guest. In a narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that they are the guests of Allah. They are the duyuf of Allah. Can you imagine being a guest of Allah? I want you to imagine chanting, here we are, O Allah, here we are. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. You have no partner, Allah. Indeed, all blessings and all mercy and all dominion belongs to you. You have no partner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The amount of reward. The Prophet mentioned even those men among us that when we shave our heads, every hair that falls, a sin is removed. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, brothers and sisters? Literally, if you internalize everything I said right now, you will be thinking, I need to go there ASAP. Now imagine how many people, they live and they die without having this opportunity, without going to Hajj, without performing the pilgrimage, without attending Arafah, without making Tawaf. We don't want us to be you and I. So my genuine reminder to myself and to all of you is that there's a reason why Hajj is such a significant act of worship. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to go there, to allow us to be among those that benefit from it, inshallah ta'ala. And what I do now is I'll conclude here and I'll open the floor for any questions as it relates to the virtues and the fada'il. Or any other questions that Brother Asim can answer as it relates to the logistics and the packages, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So inshallah ta'ala, we're going to move to the Q&A now. So Sheikh Mustafa, any questions you have regarding what he's covered today, inshallah, you can ask. Any questions that perhaps as well, inshallah. We've got a period about 5 to 10 minutes, inshallah, to ask any questions. And I will unmute as well, inshallah. If you'd like to speak through microphone, you can speak through microphone, inshallah ta'ala. Allah barik feek. We have a question here, Sheikh.
Is it written one or?
One person's raised their.
Yeah.
So I'm going to allow them to speak. Because Nadir or Nadir, you can speak, Sean. I think you want to put the. You can hear from the speaker now, sir.
From mine or from yours?
From yours, if you put the camera on as well, Sean.
Yeah, that's fine.
Nadir?
Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Alaikum salam.
Sorry, the moment I'm muting for you, okay, my question to you is basically, obviously we're in the Ihram, so the question is, how many days are we in the Ihram? Do we need more than dirty? What happens, what kind of logistics and all that? And in terms of other clothing, if it's a 15-day package, I go on, say, for example, do I need much other clothing? Because you're in the Ihram most of the time, you don't need much other clothing, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
When it comes to the Ihram, actually, so the 15 days that we're there, you're not in the Ihram all 15. You're only in the Ihram for the duration of the Hajj and the Umrah, if you're doing a combination of both. So, depending on, we're going to Medina first, and you don't need to be wearing your ihram from when you set off from the UK or wherever you're setting off from, and then we definitely have a change of clothes, because you will be wearing your regular clothes a good many days before Hajj starts, and you'll be coming back into your clothes a few days after as well. So the amount of times that you're wearing your ihram is actually not that long. 5 days. 5 days, even if, right? And on top of that, when you're in your ihram, you don't have to wear the same ihram. So you could have a change of you can have another set of robes if you want to. However, the whole point of the Hajj exercise and experience is that you're in a more humble state than you usually were. So let's say someone, I don't know, decided to have like 4 or 5 different ihrams, and each time he's wearing a clean, pressed ihram, and he's changing it up. Technically, you can. You're not allowed to wear clothes that are made to fit the body, and we'll cover this in our fiqh sessions. Please make sure you attend those. But are you allowed to have an extra set? Yes. Would I recommend it for Hajj? Maybe, because they can. Sometimes you can, if they get dirty, to have an extra spare is handy. Do you have to or do you need to? No. So it's more of a logistical situation where you can. Don't try and think of it as I need to be looking the most clean and the ihram cannot have a speck of dust. Remember the narration that I mentioned, Allah is saying to the angels, look at my servants, they are disheveled, they are dusty. Meaning there's an element of wear and tear associated with it. Not artificial wear and tear, but there's an element of that. So I think if you have one pair extra, it's fine. You don't necessarily have to, however, and the time you'll be wearing it will not be the whole 15 anyway. I hope that answers your question, brother.
It's just, yeah, it was just more, because obviously, I don't know, when you're out at night and the camps, it might get dirty.
So yeah. Dirty, so does that, do you understand now, like, the whole situation and how it, inshallah?
Yeah, inshallah. And what about women? I mean, they have the bayah and...
They're wearing their regular clothes, and they can change it as many times as they want. Like I said, the men can change their ihrams as well. It's just not... they continue the ihram as well, but it's perfectly fine. Even if for comfort reasons, let's say you felt like you sweated a lot or you traveled a lot and you have an extra ihram, you just want to change it, it's perfectly fine, you can. But just keep in the back of your mind the idea that being in a more humble state than you normally are is actually part of it. But yeah, Jazakallah khair. Good question. Yeah. So a sister is asking, will there be classes on the rituals of Hajj when in Aziziyya? So there will be classes on the rituals of Hajj right here as a webinar in a number of weeks, I think after Ramadan. But also, once you are in Medina, we will probably use the opportunity there as well as in Aziziyya. We will use every single opportunity we can. In other words, I will make sure that you all guys are experts in Hajj before Hajj starts. So, inshallah ta'ala, that will be there. Trust me, you don't have to worry about that, inshallah ta'ala. You'll be sick and tired of how many times we are repeating and teaching to the point you say, Shaykh, we get it, inshallah ta'ala. Someone is asking, if you go in Mecca first instead of Medina, when should the ihram be put? When we land in Jeddah? If you're going to Mecca first, it's different, but alhamdulillah, with our package, you're going to Medina first, so you don't have to worry about that. We will have, so someone is asking about Tawaf al-Wada'. Tawaf al-Wada' is the farewell Tawaf. It's ideally meant to be the last thing that you do. And inshallah ta'ala, we will advise you on such, when to do it once we complete the rites of Hajj. We will make sure everyone makes sure that they do the Tawaf al-Wada', which is the goodbye, if you will. The Prophet said in the Hadith, اجعلوا آخر العهد أهدكم البيت. Make sure that the last thing you do in Mecca is the Tawaf, the farewell Tawaf. Again, we will instruct you there, inshallah ta'ala, properly. And you will know when to do and when to do it, inshallah.
There's no more questions. Then I believe we'll have to wrap this one up, inshallah ta'ala. Next week, we have our next webinar, inshallah ta'ala, our next webinar series. Let me just double check the title for that. Nader, would you like to? Okay, we've got. Okay, if you have another question, Nader, you can answer it. Ask it. Are you ready? Your microphone.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello. Assalamu alaikum. Nader, yes. Tafadhal, you're ready, inshallah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. We can hear you.
Yeah, sorry, mine is a logistics question. So, obviously, when you're in Aziziyya, so in a shifting package, you have the hotel as well, but you're going back and forth. So it's not clear to me how many days you're going back and forth to Muzdalifah, Aziziyya, Arafah before you go to Jabal Rahmah. I mean, there's probably back and forth. Is there something which outlines what that is?
So once we start with the days of Hajj, so we're going to be in Aziziyya for the first 2 days, but once we start the days of Hajj, we're going to be spending time in Mina camp and Mu'azzin camp. And that's where we'll be doing the stoning of Jamarat and so on and so forth. There'll be one night in Muzdalifah for one night only. And then after the completion of all of that, then you'll go back to Aziziyya Hotel. The Aziziyya Hotel, that will be once you've completed all of the Jamarat stoning and so on and so forth. And then the Hajj, the Wada' of Tawaf. Tawaf and Wada' as well, that would be at the end as well. So if that makes sense with regards to Aziziyya, inshallah.
Yeah, and I think there's three separate days of stone, is that right? You go three different times, all right?
That's
different
correct.
Levels.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And is there transportation between Aziziyya and whatever, or is it just walking back and forth?
There will be some transportation, yes. There will be some transportation. There will be groups of people walking as well, so we're going to set up options for people to walk. Okay. It's not too far from the camps as well, inshallah. And even Aziziyya is not too far from there as well.
Okay,
definitely. Inshallah, with that in mind, we're going to now end it, inshallah ta'ala. As mentioned before, we have our next session at the exact same time next week, inshallah ta'ala. I'm just going to Zone C, I believe it is Zone C for the Mu'assim camp. I'm not sure if that's what you're asking about. So with regards to next week's webinar, inshallah ta'ala, just going to get the information here for you. So that's going to be on the concept or the topic of the history of Hajj, inshallah. So Sheikh, if you'd like to give a little a breakdown of what's going to be covered, inshallah, and then we can leave it at that, inshallah. If you have anything to say about it.
So, inshallah ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, next week we're going to talk about the Hajj that happened before. Where did this act of worship originate from? And the connection between the very strong connection between the story of Prophet Ibrahim and the family of Prophet Ibrahim and the prophets that came before and after with Hajj. And inshallah ta'ala, it's going to be very good, because what a lot of time happens is when people go to Hajj, they don't feel that what they don't really get to connect with Mecca, with the sites of Hajj and the historical narrative that we are all a part of. So I highly encourage you guys to attend that one and to spread the word and to really understand why is Prophet Ibrahim so central as it relates to Hajj, and where does the history of Hajj come from, inshallah ta'ala. So I hope to see you there.